From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield, this is Inside Eagle Nation, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.
Strike three called, it is well with my soul at J.I. Clement Stadium.
Your all-access look into Eagle Athletics is Inside Eagle Nation.
Toogie with one, a three, and a win it! Got it! Game over!
Let's go to the Learfield studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
Welcome into another edition of Inside Eagle Nation, your official podcast for Georgia Southern Athletics. Well, the last couple of weeks we had talked about how it was a busy week in Georgia Southern Athletics, but now all of that has kind of come to an abrupt end over the last couple of days, Danny Reed.
Thinking that we were going to get a break, I wasn't thinking it was going to be this kind of break, and I don't think that anybody in the world thought that something like this was actually going to happen. But with the coronavirus pandemic, it's not necessarily put our lives on hold, but a big part of what you and I and what so many people around here do has been put on pause as we try to figure it out and basically do what we can to keep ourselves safe. And that's the most important thing. We're able to do this, but the most important thing is that everybody that hears this and everybody that's trying to do whatever they are, just be safe, be smart. We're not telling people to wash their hands just for the sake of washing your hands. If you're being told to stay inside, but do have internet so you can listen to this.
As always, Inside Eagle Nation is presented by our good friends at Arcola Septic. Arcola Septic is your premier septic services provider to Bullock, Bryan, and adjoining counties, and a great family-owned business that's run by a pair of Georgia Southern alumni. Make sure to give them a call at 912-318-7939 or visit them online at arcolaseptic.com. For both commercial and residential customers, their more than 10 years of experience can help you out with pumping and servicing your septic system, drain field repairs, new system installation, and all of your septic needs. Remember to follow them on Facebook, Arcola Septic, yesterday's Meals on Wheels. As we dive a little bit deeper into...
That just made me laugh because how much everybody's hoarding toilet paper now. That just made me laugh even more. Sorry if that was, I don't know if I should have said that, but it just came across as even funnier right now. I don't know.
But as we dive deeper into what the last couple of days have meant, not only for Georgia Southern Athletics, but really the entire sports world, because this is unprecedented, I think is the best word that you can use to describe this. The sports world as a whole has never been shut down. You look back to a couple of different instances where specific sports or specific regions were put on hold for different things over the years, but the entire sports world has never really been put on hold. And so when you look at what everybody across the globe is trying to deal with right now, not only of, like we talked about earlier, following what the CDC says of keeping yourself safe, but making sure of what everybody needs to do while still being able to go about your daily lives. And so when you look at the sports world aspect of it, there's a lot of people, and there's two things that I want to touch on with this, and it may not be popular opinion, but we're going to. The first is everybody is talking about they need to go ahead and make a decision whether all of the NCAA is shut down, what happens to the seniors for this year, what happens with... And I realize that everybody is looking for an answer and everybody's looking for how long this is going to last and what's going to happen right now. But when you look at it, and honestly, when everything first came out, and we'll dive deeper into that in a little bit in the second point, but when everything first came out, I was kind of on that train of where are all the answers? Like, you put out that all the championships for both basketball and all of the spring and winter championships are canceled, but that doesn't give you a whole lot of answers as to what's going on. But you take a step back and look at it. If you're the NCAA, you're trying to deal with a whole slew of things of, yes, you've canceled all the championships, and that's probably what needed to happen, at least for the basketball side of things, because March Madness, while it is one of the best sporting events and best arenas in basketball and sports, you probably got to take a step back and look at it of there's a ton of people that could be infected in that.
Well, in regards to that, that is one that the NCAA actually operates. So much money is made off the college football playoff. That's an independent entity. the NCAA tournament is operated by the NCAA. That's their cash cow. That's $1 billion. $1 billion over a 3-4 week stretch every March and April. So you have to think about what it means for that to just be gone. And say, well, can we still get a bracket, whatever? That's not important right now. The important thing is to make sure that the welfare of every student-athlete, every administrator, everybody that's working in the college realm, and everybody that's working in every athletic realm, and really every realm, period, all over the world, that we need to make sure that people are safe. But for the standpoint of you and I, for this podcast, and where we're situated and what we have to do, we do think about that. Because it's a large part of our lives that's just been chopped. So you have to find a way to, I guess, look at it the right way. Not how do you move on from it, because we're not going to move on from it. We're going to get back to normal eventually. But it's how do we process all this the right way.
But the big thing of the point we're trying to make is everybody wants to know, well, since you took away the opportunity to go to the March Madness tournament and the NCAA tournament, are you going to give those seniors an extra year of eligibility? Well, then you have to start thinking, if you give, especially on like the baseball side, if you give those seniors an extra year of eligibility, do you give everybody an extra year of eligibility? Do you expand the roster size? Because then, if you don't, you're almost taking away from the incoming freshmen.
Yeah.
Do you expand the scholarship numbers? Because Georgia Southern and college baseball only get 11.7 scholarships.
It's the most underfunded sport in college athletics, and that's not a secret. That's been a battle that's been waged for a long time, and that's actually been reduced. It was 13 not all that long ago, but then it dropped again to 11.7 for Title IX concerns and various other issues that the NCAA is dealing with.
And especially with a team like Georgia Southern, if you give those seniors an extra year, you've got a number of guys that are incoming freshmen expecting a partial or even maybe a full-ride scholarship that wouldn't be able to if you don't expand the 11.7. And I don't think it's something that you can say, oh, we're going to bump it up back to 13 or we're going to bump it up to a certain number, because there are some teams that have more seniors than others. And then are you going to increase the roster size? There's a lot of different questions that go into it. And then you get into cost of attendance. Who's going to pay for that? Because if a school wasn't ready to pay for 6, 7, 8, sometimes even 9 or 10 different guys to get cost of attendance, and we're just talking one sport here. Georgia Southern has 17 sports. There are some schools that have more than 17 sports.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's a lot of different questions that have to be answered, but I think the NCAA did the right thing in canceling the NCAA tournament as far as basketball is concerned, just for the sheer fact of getting something out there, and then they say, okay, we're going to figure out all of this other, but there's not a way to figure out everything before March Madness was supposed to start.
Think about what you just said about 30 seconds ago. The NCAA did right. That typically does not happen a lot.
And we're going to get into my contradiction to it in just a little bit,
yeah.
But for now, yes.
This is what they had to do. This is a global pandemic. This is something that is affecting everyone in every walk of life. We're just a small segment of that as the realm of college athletics. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking about these men and women that have, young men and women that have made their way here, that if you played basketball, like say for Georgia Southern, you just went to Atlanta, and we'll get to the highlights of that in a minute, but you just went to Atlanta for a chance to go to the semifinals. You won. And we were waiting in Atlanta to go to New Orleans when we changed our flight because we heard that there was going to be more conversation amongst the league presidents and those that are the hires up. And then as we're sitting there and watching every league just cancel, 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 erasing the rest of the basketball season, even though the Sun Belt earlier that day had put out that they were going to follow suit with other announcements that were previously made that these tournaments were going to continue with limited attendance, only essential personnel. The reason why the Sun Belt had to wait was because of the semifinals that were taking place a couple of days later. But it probably didn't help that maybe 2 hours after that was when the purge of championships and all this was happening, so the Sun Belt had to go back on that, which you can look at it however you want to, but they made the right decision going in with the NCAA and then looking at spring sports. canceling that, and no more Women's College World Series, no more College World Series. It's supposed to be in June. Does it seem a little bit premature? Possibly. But it could tell you how serious this could get. So this is a safeguard against what we as a world could be dealing with.
And so you look at what the NCAA put out after, like you mentioned, the purge of all the conference tournaments saying, yeah, we're done. Some of it was 15 minutes before. You look at the Big East, they were at halftime of their first game of the day before they said, okay, we're done.
And then some people are, how are they playing this game right now? Well, they're trying to worry about themselves while every other conference and every other league and every other entity in this country are trying to figure things out as well. So I don't think they should be wearing it like they did, because ultimately they did the right thing by calling it off when they did. It took the ACC a little while, but then you get the really tough image of Commissioner John Swofford having to go on court before Clemson was going to play Florida State, giving Florida State the championship they had wanted in the regular season. But for them, I think about them because our own Andrew Wilson played there, and he follows along just like anybody else. He played for Leonard Hamilton. But to think this could have been the year that Florida State won a national basketball championship.
Yeah.
They never even scraped that. They've been to the Elite Eight a couple times, Sweet 16 a couple times. They could have gone all the way.
And you look at
Dayton.
Yeah, exactly.
Dayton on the one line could have gone all the way. One of the best basketball atmospheres I've ever seen was last year up at UD Arena when Georgia Southern almost went there and beat what turned out to be a really good team. They're even better this year. But now it's the we'll never know because of what has happened. And that's not anyone's fault. It's just that this is what has happened, and life is teaching everyone how we've got to deal with this.
And so now you're kind of in the sense of, okay, what happens next? And so we know that the NCAA canceled all winter and spring championships.
Correct.
Now, when that came out, a lot of people said, oh, well, you can't have conference tournaments. Yes, you can. The championships would just start, like for baseball, would be the NCAA regionals would be the first thing that were canceled at that point in time. So you could have still had conference championships. But the issue that I had, and this is just my own opinion, and we can debate it back and forth if we want to, but the biggest thing that I had was what a lot of people keep saying of, how do you cancel something in the middle of March when it waits till June? My biggest thing was, I understood from a sports side, and this is just strictly from the sports side, not the health side. From the sports side, the NCAA canceled the championships after most of the conferences had already canceled their conference tournaments. And so then you got into both what is best both for the health side, but you also got into, okay, how are we going to fill 64 spots? Because you get the automatic bid from every conference, and then you have at-large bids. If you don't have a conference champion on the tournament, how do you fill 64 spots?
Can't do it.
So you're going to have a big, long conversation, which I don't want to be a part of. But from the sports side, I understand the how do you cancel the championships in March when, at that time, people were just, there were only a couple of conferences that had even postponed their seasons until the 1st of April. There were still probably half the conferences at the time when that came out that were still planning on playing on Friday. If we're really looking at it, at that point in time, now you could see it was trending that way, but there were still games that were going to be played Friday.
Well, there were buses that were en route to where they were supposed to go, and then announcements being doled out, and then coaches having to tell teams, look, this is what we've been told. We've got to go back to where we were supposed to, and at least this is happening during spring break, so kids can at least go back to wherever they are. I mean, some are going into a quarantine state where they're not moving and basically turning towns all across the world into ghost towns until we figure out exactly how serious this is and what we need to do to make it better. But at the same time, I feel for all those guys and girls that worked for something that now they don't get a chance to do because they are sold on the student-athlete experience. I'm having trouble putting together words to think that I just saw Ike Smith and Isaiah Crawley and Simeon Carter and David Lee Jones Jr. play for the last time. Now, we did hear that the spring sports are going to get their extra year, and that's going to create a whole other set of issues that you mentioned, and we'll find out how the NCAA is going to deal with that in the coming weeks and months, because that's not something that's going to happen quickly. No. But they have advised, the committee has said, give them the extra year. Spring sports are going to get your extra year because less than a third of your season at most points have been played. But for the winter sports, it's going to be a tougher argument because they're almost done. They were almost finished. And I know how much it hurts they didn't get to play for the conference tourneys, and I hate it for those guys because I saw those looks and I know what it meant to them. But it's going to be a tougher sell to give them that extra year. And that's not just basketball. That's all winter sports.
And you can argue on both sides of that one because you look at – you look strictly at Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern men's basketball was going to play in the semifinals against Little Rock.
Right.
In the conference tournament down at the Smoothie King Center. Those guys thought well in their minds that they could have won the conference tournament and headed to the NCAA tournament. Do you take that away from them? And it's not that you're necessarily taking that away from them, but do you give them the extra year to try to replicate that? As, on the flip side, Georgia Southern women's basketball had fallen against Louisiana in the first round, so their season was complete.
Right.
But then do you get into, okay, if you were still playing, you get your extra year? Or does everybody in basketball get their extra year? If that's the case, Georgia Southern women's basketball may get an extra year of Alexis Brown, of Amira Atwater.
She already has the assist record. She's going to blow it out of the water. She gets another year.
Yeah, right. I mean, where do you draw the line? So that's where a lot of the frustration of why hasn't this come out yet, there's a lot of questions behind the front line that have to be answered before that front line can come out. Before you say basketball does or does not get the extra year, there's a lot of different things that you have to look at.
And I'm hoping that that's what this roughly two-week buffer is going to provide. There's nothing that's going to happen, at least until March the 30th. Some have extended that to as far as April 15th. Numerous conferences have said, look, we're done for the year, which for them makes sense. But we will get the information that we need from the people that are going to be most informed to make those decisions. We're going to get it. Just because we don't know right now, that's not a bad thing. I would rather this be given the amount of time and the amount of care it needs, because that checklist is long. That's not something you're going to fit on an 8x11.
No.
Because if you try to, the font's going to be so small that you're going to need a lot more paper anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be like one of those things in high school when they used to say you would get a one-page cheat sheet that you can use on a test, and you tried to cram everything in the book on that little piece of paper.
How small can I make?
Exactly.
We're going to get the info that we need. Even though it's a time of uncertainty, this is also a time where, I mean, what we're going to do this next little bit, we're going to reflect on some things. We're going to be able to take this in a different direction over the next few weeks and months that we'll be able to tell people. This can be a constructive use of the time that we've been given. You can't give someone the gift of time. It's almost impossible. You can donate your time, but to know that extra time has been given to you and you can use it in a certain way, we have our plans about how we're going to be able to do it, and then we just kind of have to see where things go. This is the ultimate wait and see.
You bring up the fact of time, and the thing that it makes me think of is back a couple of years ago at the ESPY Awards, Craig Sager was presented the Jimmy V Foundation Award for Courage, and he talked about time a lot throughout his last couple of months in the battle with cancer. And so his quote from that speech is, time is something that cannot be bought, it cannot be wagered with God, and is not an endless supply. Time is simply how you live your life. And I think that's something that kind of rings true even with this scenario of, yeah, you can be all mad that there's not sports and everything, or you can look at it of kind of the way that we're about to go with this over the next couple of weeks and months of getting to dive deeper into some of the stories, getting to dive deeper into some of the different aspects that really and truly we don't have the time to do when we're looking at 4 or 5 game weeks, especially with the overlap.
Right.
So now we've got the opportunity to dive deeper into some of the stories that may not have gotten told. And one thing that we've talked about over the last couple of days, Whitney Hayworth did a phenomenal job with the Sun Belt Conference. She was about to do the 4 semifinal matchups with Sun Belt Conference men's and women's basketball, and then the 2 championship games on the sidelines for ESPN Plus and ESPN3. The thing that she did she took out a video and not only told some of the stories of the four men's basketball teams, the four women's basketball teams, but she was also very close with Carly McCord, who passed away in the plane accident a couple of weeks ago as she was going to see her father-in-law, Steve Ensminger, the OC for LSU, right, in the championship game. She did a phenomenal job of using this time of telling the stories. They're on the Sun Belt Conference Twitter feed if you want to go back and look at them, and I strongly encourage you do.
Yes.
But this is a time where sports are not gone. They are simply suspended.
They're sleeping.
Yeah, they're down for a little nap.
They're taking a little napsky.
But it's not where, yes, the sports world has come to a halt as far as games are concerned, but now, and we're going to do our part to help with this, of telling the stories behind the sports.
It's why we started doing this in the first place, the 80-some episodes that we've been able to do, and we've shared some. You've probably heard some multiple times, but some need rehashing because they're just that good stories. But there are others that we haven't even gotten to yet. We're going to get to a lot of those in the coming weeks and the coming months, depending on how long this goes. And I hate to even put it this way, but maybe this is what we as a society and a world, maybe this is what we needed to slow down. Maybe we don't need everything this second. Maybe we can take this opportunity to listen, to chill, to just be. Because with the way that everything is picked up, and I'm talking social media, the ability to reach people in less than a second, the way that we can connect with people, it's unprecedented, but also what we're dealing with is unprecedented. We just have to be smarter as a culture and just let things run its course. Don't force things that don't need to be forced. Allow this to play itself out. And look, we go a mile a minute. We have a lot of games. We're working from the start of football season through the end of baseball season. So yeah, we just took out a large portion of what we do. But this can be looked at as a positive. You just have to have the want to and the ability to look at things with the right set of eyes.
So coming up in the next couple of weeks, you'll see a lot of different things that we'll be pushing out from the Georgia Southern Sports Network and Georgia Southern Athletics on social media and different channels. So be on the lookout for that. If you have any suggestions of what you would want to see as far as behind the scenes of Georgia Southern Athletics, we'll catch up with Jared Benko in the next couple of weeks as he begins his official tenure as the Director of Athletics. But what are some of the things that you want to see? Us being in it every day, don't necessarily know what everybody wants to see. We know what we see, and we take for granted a lot of the stuff that we get to be a part of every single day. So what are some of the things that you want to see? You can tweet us at GS Sports Network.
For instance, we were in Chad Lunsford's office today. Wow, you were in Chad's office? Yeah, we're up there a couple times a week. Are you serious?
Yeah.
that makes your mind explode. Because for some other people, they go to games on Saturdays. That may be the only time you're... Man, I'd love to see that, but we're there so often, so it's not that it's at the front of our minds.
So we will try to let you experience Georgia Southern Athletics from whatever way you want to experience Georgia Southern Athletics as everything is halted. But for now, one thing that we can keep up is the True Blue Eagle, and this one is a very special True Blue Eagle of the Week. This week's True Blue Eagle of the Week, one that a lot of people may not know exactly who she is, but Miss Helen Jackie Yates. And Miss Helen has been a part of Inside Eagle Nation, telling us stories of Georgia Southern basketball from yesteryear. She has not missed a home basketball game in over 30 years at Hanner Fieldhouse.
It's been since 1986. If you see her, she's the white-haired lady that walks around with the beautiful blue and white jacket from Georgia Teachers College. She told us that story on Inside Eagle Nation last year. That was the jacket that was once worn by David Patton. She could tell you stories about guys from those 1980s teams. She speaks so fondly of guys like Jeff Sanders and Michael Curry and Calvin Sinkfield, who was a member of the Where Have They Flown series we did a couple of summers ago. There's no one that loves Georgia Southern basketball more than Miss Helen.
And Miss Helen will be about seven rows up, just behind us, one section over, and she is at every single basketball game, again, for over 30 years, has not missed a game, and just an absolute wealth of knowledge of Georgia Southern basketball. We've talked with her, as we mentioned, for Eagle Tales on Inside Eagle Nation, the podcast, and just being so involved in not only Georgia Southern basketball of coming to games, but also a big part of the Round Ball Club alumni as well for Georgia Southern basketball. Miss Helen Yates is this week's True Blue Eagle of the Week. Make sure to tune in every Monday for the next True Blue Eagle of the Week. Once again, this week's True Blue Eagle of the Week, some know her as Miss Helen Yates, some know her as Miss Jackie Yates, some know her as Helen Jackie Yates.
And some know her as the lady that wears that beautiful blue and white jacket at a lot of the men's basketball games.
But Miss Helen has done a phenomenal job of not only supporting Georgia Southern Athletics, but over the last couple of years that we have had her on Eagle Tales, sharing her knowledge with Eagle Nation. I know a lot of people have come up to me and asked, who is Miss Helen? Because I want to meet her, because she has told some of the greatest stories on Eagle Tales.
You don't need a media guide for men's basketball. I'm thankful that we do, but you talk to her. She's your men's basketball media guide because she has seen just about everything. She's coming up on 500 consecutive home games. Started back in 86. We talked about that with her early last season. I feel like we should have a night. When things do get back to normal, the night that will be her 500th game, and I got to go back for sure to make sure when it is, but I know we're coming up fairly close to it.
But Georgia Southern is grateful to have people like Miss Helen Yates, and she is this week's True Blue Eagle of the Week. Somebody else that Georgia Southern is grateful to have now back with Georgia Southern Athletics is this week's Beyond the Bio.
Time now for Beyond the Bio with Colin Lacey.
Welcome back into this week's edition of Beyond the Bio here on Inside Eagle Nation, your official podcast for Georgia Southern Athletics, as we step into Georgia Southern Athletic Communications with Aaron Soka. Now, you've heard the name before. He was with Georgia Southern Athletic Communications a couple of years ago, then took a year as he went to James Madison to work with JMU baseball and football and different things throughout the communications department with JMU. But Aaron, welcome back.
It's good to be back, Colin. I've been enjoying the weather recently.
Now, when you were here the first time with Georgia Southern, you were a student assistant with Athletic Communications, and now being a full-time employee for Georgia Southern Athletic Communications. What's the biggest difference from the first time you were here to now?
You know, it's a little more, there's more roles you have to take on. It's more of a day-to-day, there's more traveling involved. You know, it's more you have to listen to the little thing. You sit through a lot of meetings. You have to meet with your coaches a little bit more. But I think when I went up to JMU and did some stuff up there for the year that I was there, it really kind of drove me into that and made me grow up. Even listening, I listened to the last podcast we did, man, probably over a year ago. Probably a year and 2 months, yeah. It sounds like. So I was up there just over a year. You could tell the difference, and I think even the people in my office could tell. It's been a little more maturity out of me than it was maybe a year and a half ago, but you know, no, it's been good, and I've enjoyed my time back so far.
What's the time up at JMU like we talked about? You got to spend a year with JMU baseball, got to go on a run towards the national championship with JMU football, got all the way down to Frisco in the national championship game, so a lot of excitement up there. What's the year like?
Yeah, well, when I got there, it was a little similar to what I walked into here, where I was 2 weeks from baseball season. So I hit the ground running, got used to my staff and my coaches and my guys, and they were very welcoming. And I still talk. I talked to a couple of our draft picks, Dan Goggin and Shelton Perkins and Nick Robertson, actually, a couple days ago once all this stuff was starting to happen in the sports world. And, you know, I still talk to a lot of the guys up at JMU. But I really hit the ground running with baseball, kind of grew their system. They had a pretty historic year, getting back into their conference tournament and winning 30 games again. And head coach Marlon Eikenberry is doing a great job with those guys. And the squad this year was off to a really hot start. And then I kind of moved into the football role and became the secondary contact up there. And it honestly kind of started as a joke. I was at a basketball game. And our primary contact, Chris Burks, was there. And I was like, oh, yeah, if you need a secondary, you know, I'll do it. I love football, blah, blah, blah. And he kind of took it seriously, and we started hitting the ground running and went to West Virginia for the opener, fell about a drive short of that one. I think we lost 20-13 in Morgantown and ripped off, I think it was 14 straight wins after that, cruised through the playoffs, and then had a meeting with the old Bison in Frisco. And that was a great trip. I mean, I had never been to Texas, and then getting to be in a national championship. Nobody gets to be in a national championship as other than North Dakota as much as they do. But just having the opportunity to be there and kind of work with those people in the NCAA, and it kind of tied everything together, because with Georgia Southern being a former FCS program, seeing that and seeing the all the history and tradition between that, it was great. And during that, actually, we had the had men's soccer as well. So nationally ranked program, we were top 15, knocked off number one Wake Forest. So it was a great experience. I learned a lot, and I can't thank them enough for what they did for me.
Now, let's dive back into your story a little bit. When was it that you decided that sports communications and working in sports was something that you wanted to do?
You know, it was probably around my sophomore or junior year. Like you said, I worked in the office freshman, sophomore, all the way through until I left about a year ago. And it kind of just clicked once I got my own sports. I had the tennis teams, we were my main ones, and then I picked up women's soccer and was working with football. But it was just something. The one thing that I enjoy about this job is you get to really know the athletes before they become the superstars. And I think, especially at JMU, I really got to know them and their families a lot more. Being on the road with the guys was incredible. I mean, we got along very well, and me being kind of similar to the same age, I kind of relate a little bit better to those guys. But it's just making those relationships and being there for them. When they were going through hard times, I told them, listen, you can call me. And even with everything going on now, I called a bunch of my athletes from JMU after everything kind of settled down and was like, hey, I know it's a tough time. We're going through it too. Please call me if you need me. Like, this isn't the end of the world, but I'm here for you. And I think that was the big thing. And that's what I try to take pride in, is if they need me, they can call me. I'm not going to be here, and I'm not going to sit here and harp on them all day like their coaches do at times. And I'm here for them to talk and open up. And if they need me, call me. I'll come get them and do stuff. So, I mean, they're a great, great group of people, whether it's my women's soccer team here or the guys up in Virginia. But that's just the one main thing that I love about this job, is just getting to know them and getting to be personal with them.
You talk about the relationships that you build in this job, and more so now in your second stint here in Statesboro, now that you're the primary contact for Georgia Southern baseball. We talk about it a lot, how Coach Hennen and the staff has really built a program and one of the best staffs in the country here at Georgia Southern. But from your experience getting to be with the team, and obviously only 16 games through before everything got shut down a little bit, but what has your experience been with this coaching staff here for Georgia Southern baseball?
Oh, it's been incredible. I mean, Coach Hennen and Alan and BJ and Cody and Jason have been incredible. And even with Lawson, the student assistant, who was a former player, they've all been very welcoming. Great people. When I sat down with them and in my interview, Rodney and I had a great conversation, and I just told them, listen, I'm going to come in and try to work as hard as I can to get you guys ready for the week, as much as I can do. And I'm going to run things by you as easy as possible. And, you know, working with them, it's been incredible on the road. We've had great times, the short couple times we were, and even here at home, they've been very welcoming and have really made my transition easier back into the baseball side of it.
Now, I know you're still relatively young in your career for athletic communications, but what are some of the things that you really put a lot of emphasis on in trying to get out there for your teams?
Well, one that I wouldn't necessarily say I get out there for my teams, but I really try to make a good, have a good relationship with my coaching staffs. That's the one thing I take pride in, is even when I went to Virginia, was getting really close with them, whether it be just trying to meet with them every so often to talk, or on the road, sitting down, having a meal with them. But that's probably the one thing. But getting out in the open is probably more of the photography side, or just trying to make their content fun for them. Because sometimes you look at some of these accounts and it's like, yes, they're trying to just report the game. But I think if you make it a little more fun and enjoyable for the guys, is when they go back, or the girls, is when you go back and they look at it afterwards, or they're tagged in something afterwards, that's something else that they can post on their social. And for most of them, and it's kind of like why we use influencer here, is for most of these student athletes, is their reach is a lot greater than our brand. And if we can put our brand into their reach, we could triple, quadruple our brand in the matter of seconds. So I think that's why, and it's a shout out to Influencer, who is a great partner here that we just joined on with. And they allow us to give our student athletes our photos in the palm of their hands, and they can post them instantly as soon as we post it. So, getting their brand, their personal brand built, and then our brand included in it, I think is a bonus. And that's something I've been trying to push for the last year up in Virginia and coming back down here.
Finally, before we let you go, this segment's called Beyond the Bio. Give us something that, seeing you on a game day, you've already gone through one of these, but give us something beyond your bio.
Well, this is a funny one. So Colin can attest to this because we both do this, and he kind of looked at me crazy when he said this the first time. But he looks at me and he goes, you know, don't call me crazy when we go up to, I think we were going to Athens, weren't we?
I think so.
Yeah, because you were finally off the road. And he looks at me and goes, don't call me crazy, but I have to bring all three hats, and I have to wear the same hat as the team. And I kind of looked at him and said, you don't understand. I drove home from the baseball stadium one time because I had the blue hat on to go get the white hat from my house and come back to the stadium. So, no, we always have to wear the same hat as the guys, and it's just some kind of superstitious thing I did. And I've always had some kind of weird thing about it at JMU. It was wearing the same belt for certain times and certain shoes. So I'm very superstitious, so definitely hats is probably the weirdest thing I have going for me at this point.
Aaron, appreciate everything that you do for Georgia Southern Athletics. Appreciate the time, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Colin.
Once again, that is Aaron Soka, the baseball contact for Georgia Southern Athletic Communications. Was a short tenure for Soka for baseball, just 11-5, but he had a heck of a run.
Ed on a 7-game winning streak, sweeping number 3, then number 2 Georgia. Second biggest crowd in the history of J.I. Clemens Stadium.
All right. Soka has more to do with the 7-game winning streak than a lot of people realize. So in the Friday game against Valpo, no. In the Saturday game against Radford, the last time that Georgia Southern would have lost.
Correct. 4-2.
There was a foul ball that went into the VIP suite to the left of the press box.
That's where that ball went?
Yes.
Aaron, I saw it go back, but then it just disappeared.
Yes. Soka goes over and gets the ball after the game. He has had it in the left, I think it's the left pocket of his backpack, that little mesh pocket that you use for water bottles and whatnot.
And apparently he's, foul balls.
Yeah, he's got the foul ball in there. And he has said it's going to be a good luck charm. Haven't lost since.
That's why we do Inside Eagle Nation. Where else are you going to hear that story?
How about you, Soka? I hear you. And we finally learned how to say your name after 3 years.
We've known for a while. We just haven't had a chance to talk
about
it.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a good story, too. So the last time we had Soka on for Beyond the Bio, the first tenure, or his first lap around Eagle Nation, the first 2 or 3 years I knew him, his name is spelled S-O-C-H-A.
Socha.
I thought it was Socha.
Yeah.
I called him Socha for the first 3 years I knew the guy. And then we do the interview for Beyond the Bio. I say, welcome in, Aaron Socha. And he doesn't flinch. He doesn't say anything. Afterwards, he's like, you know it's Soka. I'm like, are you kidding me? I've been calling you the wrong name for 3 years, and you haven't corrected me?
He must be so used to it that it's, as long as you're close, just go.
That's what he said. He's like, I'm so used to people growing up and people now saying Socha, Soka. He's like, I don't even really notice it anymore. I was like, okay, well, next time, tell me. So it's been Aaron Soka ever since, and I'll never forget it.
Not that he changed it to Soka, but that's what it actually
is. We just figured out that was actually the poor guy's name.
But it's good having him back. I feel for him that it only lasted 16 games. We're going to have it come back. It doesn't feel like it at this point, but things are going to return to a sense of normalcy. Not knowing is part of the frustration that you mentioned about in our first segment, but at least we can share some happy thoughts and some things we're going to be working on the upcoming days, weeks, and months.
Got some happiness to report around Georgia Southern Athletics over the past week before everything gets shut down. Georgia Southern Women's Tennis got a 6-1 victory on Wednesday at the Wallace Tennis Center against Toledo. And then Georgia Southern Men's Basketball. Boy, oh boy.
I wish you could have been there, but I know you had other things to do.
Yeah, I had other things to tend to. Wednesday, up on the third floor of the Georgia State Sports Arena. And so we do a lot around Inside Eagle Nation, pulling back the curtain a little bit. I had Mike Petrini, our GM, was sitting next to me while I was calling the Georgia Southern Georgia baseball game on Wednesday.
Which I wish I could have partly been here for, too. If we could clone ourselves, that would have been an unforgettable night.
Yeah, one here, one there, full crew all around. But he was showing me different updates of the game. Georgia Southern up 5, Georgia Southern up 6, and then he had to vacate the booth because we had Jared Binko, the director of athletics, coming in and sitting down with us in the fourth inning, which was a great fourth inning, by the way. Dive into that a little bit later. And so I didn't get updates on the basketball game, and over the next couple of innings, I was so locked into the baseball game, Georgia Southern up on Georgia, let's roll.
I'm surprised you didn't hear me from Atlanta.
I think that may have been what flicked the switch that I need to look at the game. So I looked at it, and I looked over at Aaron Soka, and he's like, he's waving his phone, and I can see that it's the stat broadcast of the Southern State basketball game. I'm like, this is either going to be really good or this is going to be really bad. Well, I pulled up stat broadcast, and it turned out really good as Georgia Southern was up by 20 at the time. And I think my call on air was, good Lord.
I think I said close to that, too.
But it was an 81-62 victory for Georgia Southern up in Georgia State in the quarterfinal matchup at the Sun Belt Conference Tournament after Georgia Southern knocked off Louisiana in a thrilling fashion on Monday night. But Isaiah Crawley had 15 points, 16 rebounds, 19 points for Quan Jackson, and it must have been a good night to see the half-filled third floor vacate.
You know, the idea of sold out apparently gets altered a good bit once you get to Decatur Street. I mean, we were told that there was lack of security or they couldn't open up the fourth floor, even though Simeon Carter jumped up that high for an alley-oop dunk during the second half. We were told a lot of things. It wasn't a sellout. Even the seats that were on the first level on both sides, it was not a sellout. They can say what they want to. And it probably looks a little bit worse now that they had their worst home loss in 4 years. I want to combine that with really the previous couple of weeks, and I'm going to make a pretty bold statement here.
All right.
The last nearly 3 weeks with the men's basketball team have been the most joy I've had covering any team I've ever covered. And I know we've had baseball teams go to conference championships, and those are week-long deals wherever we're going, but I'm talking about a three-week stretch of covering one team. It is the most joy I've ever had being around a group of guys. There was such positivity. It felt so good just to be there, to be around them. They knew what they were capable of. The victory at Arlington by 20, they gave them an idea that they could do something that was really, really special. Yeah, they stubbed their toe against Arkansas State, which knocked them out of the top four and forced them to play that Monday home game. And we talked about it the week before, that kind of comeback, which I've never sweat that much during a basketball game my entire life. I could have sworn it was 90 degrees in Hanford Fieldhouse the last 11 minutes. But then knowing that you've got to go Tuesday to Atlanta to play Wednesday against the Panthers at a place you just won for the first time since 92 with the coronavirus swirling around. Are we going to keep going? Is it going to be limited attendance? Because at that point, we were still going to go to New Orleans with a victory. It was just going to be limited, and it was going to be essential personnel with...
Georgia State got a jump on the essential personnel only thing.
No kidding. Wow, that's a really good point. But then we're up there, and just being on the bus, being in the arena, just listening to those guys, especially how the seniors had taken hold of that team, especially Isaiah Crawley, it was almost perfect. It was almost perfect the way that he was, the way the guys gravitated to him, and the way that they believed that if they needed to play, that Crawley was going to make the play. Ike Smith was still going to be Ike Smith. Quan Jackson was still going to be Quan Jackson. When that bus pulled up to the arena on Wednesday evening, there was not a doubt on that bus that that was going to be a win. That was the feeling that started from Bill driving the thing all the way to Simeon Carter sitting in the back row. David Vitti was standing up in the middle rows. Vitti sits close to the back. He was standing up in the middle rows, chomping the bit just to get off the bus because that's how locked in he was. Those guys knew exactly what they were going to do. I think it set the stage for what they were going to do in New Orleans. Because everybody felt on that bus, and everybody felt that was on Georgia Southern's bench on that third floor that night, that they were going to go all the way. Number one, Little Rock was waiting in the semis. They hadn't played in 12 days, and they probably thought, well, this was our shot. And they won the tournament a few years before when Chris Beard was there. And really, the other two teams that were in it had valid cases. South Alabama had won 8 in a row to make the semifinals. Texas State had been hot as ever. They clobbered Appalachian State that night, so they were going to the semifinals. So I think everybody had a belief that it was going to be for them. But for Georgia Southern, I've never had a feeling like that covering a team. Mark Byington showed the emotion looking at the fans that came up to support from Eagle Nation. We saw the Panther fans leave as early as 5 minutes left when it got to be a 20-point lead. It was just a thrill to be there for it. But then the news comes down early the next day when we're actually going to get breakfast the next morning. We're planning on flying out around 2:30, 3 o'clock. We run into Coach Byington, and he said that there was going to be a conference call with the league's presidents to figure out if this was even going to continue, what the deal was, because at that point, everybody hadn't canceled yet. That happened a couple of hours later. So Mark Janak and I, room dog always, we went and got some breakfast. We go back to the room, and we start getting ready for Little Rock. He's doing some Shankle stuff because he's the one that puts together the Shankle every year. And then the news starts coming down that not only had the Sun Belt said, okay, we're going to go limited personnel, which, okay, we figure we were going, but then not long after that, every league started canceling its tournament because it had gotten to a point that they couldn't put on the rest of those tournaments without it being a tremendous health hazard. And we've heard from President Trump the last couple of days that we're now in a national state of emergency, but at that point, we didn't know that that was going to happen. So when the leagues one by one said, we're done, Mark and I sat there, we knew we were going to be canned. Get the message that, all right, the tournament's been canceled. Pack up, leave it in a half hour. As excited and as thrilled as those guys were to do what they did that night before, I'll never forget the look that was on Isaiah Crawley's face when he got on that bus. There's still a little bit of hope that seniors are going to get that extra year. The spring sports have already been granted the extra year. I don't know if the winter sports are going to be as lucky. I think we kind of talked about that a little bit earlier. But I also think about Ike Smith, and it's going to take more than just a couple minutes to fully explain what Ike has meant to us covering him and then, you know, finishing up his career like that. He ends up as Georgia Southern's number two all-time leading scorer. When he came here, he was a super athlete, and he still got some ups, but he hasn't dunked a whole lot this year because the knee, the ankle, the back, they're just not letting him do what his mind wants to do. But he had a just insane alley-oop finish on a pass from Quan on a breakaway. He took off from outside the lane, and I told him after the game, I said, do you realize how long you hung in the air? He said, what do you mean? He said, you jumped from outside the lane to catch a pass and dunk it. I mean, it was almost like a Michael Jordan kind of play where he caught it, and then he was just paused. He just elevated. He just stayed there. And gravity did not apply to him. And then he dunked. And his last basket was another dunk. This was the first game all year he had dunked twice in the same game. Your heart breaks for guys like that.
Yeah.
Because of the run that they were on, we'll now never know if they could have made the tournament championship game, if they could have won it, if they could have given the Eagles their fourth NCAA tourney banner, haven't been there since 92. But if there's a better way to go out, beating State in Atlanta again, I don't know if it exists.
You're talking about the way men's basketball found out. Aaron Soka and I, along with Glenn Ingram, were actually sitting up in the press box of baseball trying to get different things set for what we thought was going to be a Friday matchup to start Sun Belt Conference play for baseball against Troy. We were up in the baseball press box and had the TV on and just seeing one after another of the conference tournaments start to be canceled.
Lots of breaking news.
Yes. And then Aaron and I had Twitter up on our computers of what all was happening, and then the NCAA pops up and says that it has canceled all spring and winter championships. And we're thinking, wait a minute, that means the College World Series. About 10 minutes later, baseball is practicing on the field at this point. They're doing BP, and you see Jason Richmond see it on his phone, and he makes a beeline for head coach Rodney Hinnon. Shows Coach Hinnon. Coach Hinnon pulls everybody off the field into the dugout, explains to everybody what's going on, that the Sun Belt hadn't put anything out of what was happening, but he gave them the rest of the day off in the middle of practice. And after the guys left the dugout and went upstairs to the clubhouse, Aaron and I went down to the field and just kind of talking with the coaches. There's not a more humbling feeling than to see a bunch of baseball guys, and not in the sense of, and we've talked about this before, the term baseball guys are not guys who play baseball.
No.
Baseball guys are, baseball is in your blood, you've got some turfus in your blood, you're a baseball guy.
You feel it. You feel it.
Right.
A lot.
Yes. There's not much more humbling than sitting there talking to baseball guys that have just been told that their College World Series no longer exists for that year. And it was as simple as you came down probably 30, 45 minutes afterwards.
Yeah, we had stopped in Macon to get some food, and then we finished the trip. I go over to baseball thinking that somebody's going to be there. I go on the field, and it's just this, come on, it's this what happened.
And I think the best thing that we could have done that day, Cody Wofford, the volunteer assistant for Georgia Southern Baseball, looked at us and said, I need to take ground balls just to get it out of my mind. Now, Cody was a heck of a middle infielder for Western Kentucky yep. in his tenure. We've talked about that before, how you called one of his games when the Bowling Green Hot Rods played the exhibition game.
Never knew it. I told him that. He said, oh, yeah, that game got rained out in the fourth. They say, you dang right it did because you couldn't get the tarp on the field.
But just sitting there hitting ground balls to Cody Wofford and hitting some to you. You had some pretty good hands there on Thursday.
I didn't think it through all the way. I made a couple decent plays, but
a little sore on Friday.
Not necessarily sore, but there's a reason why I became a catcher. I'll just put it that way.
I do know. I was sore as all get out on Friday because I have not hit that much.
Yeah.
We stayed out there for probably 30, 45 minutes.
Because it felt normal.
Just hitting ground balls.
It felt like it was something that it wasn't going to give you the feeling of a Georgia Southern baseball game, but it was about as close as it was going to get. We were playing. We were just playing.
But Georgia Southern baseball had done a thing earlier on in the week. On Tuesday night up at SRP Park, it was a 1-0 victory over the Georgia Bulldogs. The lone run coming in the fifth inning. Parker Beatier, who has been absolutely phenomenal. We talked about the catch that he made, robbing the home run in the first inning the previous week against UGA. He had a triple to lead off the fifth. Matt Anderson came behind with a squeeze, put the bunt down, Beatier scores, and it was all Georgia Southern would need. 1-0 the victory. But another part of that game that you go back to, Jacob Parker comes into the ball game. He throws two innings of work, faced seven batters, striking out six of them.
That's against the, at that point, number two team in the country.
Yes.
Because they bumped up. They said they were number two. So, okay, you want to be number two.
All right, you want to be number two.
You're number two.
You can be number two, but you got three L's now. But a 1-0 victory on Tuesday night up at SRP Park, the home of the Augusta Green Jackets, the single-A affiliate of the San Francisco Giants. And then Georgia Southern welcomed them into J.I. Clement Stadium on Wednesday. Oh, boy, it was a lot of fun. I wish you could have been there. The second largest crowd in Georgia Southern history for baseball.
I have missed both times because in 17, when they were here, I was on the road for basketball at Arkansas State, and it was the biggest crowd in the history of J.I. Clement's.
But the Eagles would score one in the second and the third innings and a big fourth inning. Four runs come across the plate, and it was funny. About two batters into that fourth inning, Georgia made a call to the bullpen. Well, I was supposed to have Jared Binko, the new director of athletics for Georgia Southern, on in the top of the fifth inning. Well, they go to break, and he comes in while we're in break, and I'm like, you want to go ahead and knock this out now? He goes, sure. So he hops on with, I believe there was one out in the fourth, and then Georgia Southern scores four runs, so I had plenty of time to talk to Jared.
It's what Terry Harbin has called the last week or so as the Benko effect.
Yes. Yes.
We've been fine with it.
But it was four runs in the fourth inning. Georgia Southern gets the victory, 6-1. Tyler Owens, who came in, and you knew that it was only going to be a shortened start for T.O. because he was trying to transition into the weekend. He goes three perfect innings. Was only expecting him for two innings, but after he went six up, six down on 19 pitches, Coach Hinton said, yeah, you got one more in you. He goes three innings of perfect baseball. Griffin Davis and Tyler Jones were absolutely phenomenal to close out the game in the final four innings of that one. but a great way for Georgia Southern to, if it is the end of the season, to end the season a sweep of the number two or three, however you want to look at it, team in the Georgia Bulldogs. And not only does that do a lot for the guys that are on this team and that are going to get an extra year for next season, but that does a lot for recruiting. That does a lot because you beat them at Foley, you beat them at SRP, you beat them in Southeast Georgia.
After they did the exact same to Georgia Tech.
Correct.
The week before.
And so Georgia Southern's RPI had jumped up to high as 27th, the highest it had been in a couple of years.
Since probably 2014.
Yeah. And so a lot of really good things in the 21st year under head coach Rodney Hennen. And
800th win after the Tuesday victory.
Was his 800th career win in his 23-year career, adding in the couple of wins he got as the head coach of Western Carolina, his alma mater in those 2 years. But we've talked about it a lot. This program for Georgia Southern baseball, and Glenn Ingram and I talked about it on the Ford Locker Room wrap-up after Wednesday, and little did we know at the time what was ahead of us over the next 24 hours.
Yeah.
But I went out on a limb and said it, and I don't know that it was too far of a limb, but there is something special about this team. I don't know that this team was going to go on and win a Sun Belt Conference championship. I believe they would have. I don't know that they would have gone to the College World Series. But this team is special. This group of guys that Coach Hennen, Coach Beck, Coach Green, Coach Wofford, Lawson Humphreys, Jason Richmond, the guys that this staff had assembled, coached up, got to this point, was incredibly special. And you talk about the last 3 weeks for you with men's basketball was some of the most joyous times that you've had in your career. The last week and a half with Georgia Southern baseball, as they've been on this 7-game winning streak. Now, we've been back and forth between basketball and baseball, but I had the undying pleasure of calling 2 of the 3 wins against Georgia.
Merry Christmas.
That's my Christmas present for the next couple of years. But being able to do that, that was some of the most fun that I've had in a long, long time.
Because nobody expects you to.
No.
If you're playing Georgia, they all will go up there, give it the old school try, see what we can do against them dogs. Hadn't won a series against them since 2015, which was also the last time that the Eagles swept them. Georgia came to J.I. Clements. They were number 18 in the country. Eagles won 3 straight games by 1 run. And I thought that Parker Beedier's catch in game 1 at Foley Field was just going to set the stage for that game. It ended up setting the stage for the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Georgia, from what I could gather, just didn't look very Georgia. I mean, they're kicking the ball around. They were making just very uncharacteristic plays that led them to be a national seed last year. And the record-wise, they're 14-4.
Yep.
3 of the losses to Georgia Southern. So I think that outside of that, they've been pretty doggone good. But for whatever reason...
Doggone good.
Woof. Yeah, but for whatever reason... Woof. But for whatever reason... Seeing that blue and white and seeing Parker Beedier make that catch in the first inning, it sent them into a tailspin.
Yeah.
Tailspin, dog.
Okay.
Yeah, Bulldogs don't have much of a tail, but either way.
Yeah. This is what happens when you give us a weekend off. We have to get it all out of the podcast.
That's a very good point.
But a heck of a way for Georgia Southern baseball to be halted. A 1-0 victory on Tuesday. 6-1 the victory over Georgia on Wednesday. Here in Statesboro. A couple other games to get to you. Georgia Southern women's basketball, after the victory we talked about last week against Georgia State the previous Saturday, headed to the Cajun Dome to take on the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana in the opening round of the Sun Belt Conference tournament on the women's side. Fell 81-64 to the Raging Cajuns. Jamira Mathis was absolutely phenomenal for the Cajuns, had 18 points, and there was a stretch about in the third quarter that she could not miss. She was hitting fadeaway, fallaways, whatever kind of ways that she was trying to shoot. It was going in some way, shape, or form. But the Cajuns really jumped out to an early start. They shot 10 of 15 from the floor in the first quarter. Anything they were throwing up, it was going down. Bright spot for Georgia Southern women's basketball as Janiyah Lovehill, who has battled through a lot of adversity, missed the first 17 games, battling back from an ACL injury for the freshman point guard. then missed three games due to a concussion, just two games back into her season. She had a career high of 13 points in that game and really took control for Georgia Southern in that ball game. But again, the Eagles fell 81-64 to the Raging Cajuns. Georgia Southern softball continued their hot start. 6-1 the victory over the College of Charleston up at Patriots Point in Mount Pleasant. Had a three-run third inning for head coach Kim Dean and company.
Now we're not going to go to get our s'more pie and the truffles from the side store now. At least we don't think we will. He's really sad, folks. I know.
There is a store right off of the interstate that has pies, has truffles, has all kinds of just good. They got wonderful cheese grits.
You've seen these. They're on both sides of the road. One is you're going towards, one is you're going away from.
But it's a tradition for us. Every time we go to Charleston, we have to stop.
That's where we got one of the apple pies for Christine Draper a couple years ago, right after they had transitioned from the East Coast back out west.
Wow. And that's the thing.
I didn't mean to upset you, but you looked really sad, right?
Yeah,
there.
It was. It was a tough blow. But that's the thing. It's not so much that there aren't games for us to call. Now, that's part of it, because especially now, everybody knows how much we love the game of baseball. But
that's what we do.
It's the... Now we're not going to be able to go down to Acadiana and see Jay Walker. Next week we were supposed to go down to South Alabama, see guys like JT Crabtree, see guys like Charlie, the great SID for South Alabama baseball.
Charlie Nichols, man.
And just being able to see some of the people, experience some of the things that we do on the road, that's what I'm going to miss. And not to say that I'm not going to miss calling games, because that's an absolute blast, but some of the things that you're going to miss more is getting to see the people, getting to...
That's where the stories come from.
Experience some of the things. Oh, there's a lot of stories.
And with all the time we're going to have, we're going to be able to share even more of those as we...
Well, share most of them.
Yeah, not all.
That's another podcast. Yeah,
we still need to invest in Georgia Southern After Hours at some point, I think. But we will get there when we get there.
But a confusing time, a time where a lot of people are looking for answers, and the answers will come eventually.
Yeah.
Promise you, they will come eventually. It's just a matter of the patience, and we will try to get you through as much of that as we can over the next couple of weeks. Again, continue what we are doing as well as a couple of new things along the horizon.
Yeah, we need to tell the people what the plan is for Inside Eagle Nation for the next few months.
So Inside Eagle Nation, as we talked about the struggles we had starting it, just getting it blessed by everybody that it needed to be blessed by, so I'll be darned if we're going to stop this thing.
It took a long time to find the holy water, but once we did...
So through now 82 episodes over 83 weeks, has it been a blast, but I'll be darned if we're going to stop. And so...
We got more to talk about.
Yes, we do.
Just because there are no sports to be played doesn't mean we stop talking.
Some would tell you that's more prevalent than you would think. One of the things that we are going to continue on Inside Eagle Nation, through the 17 sports that Georgia Southern has, everybody knows the history of Georgia Southern baseball. A lot of people know some things about basketball and baseball. But once you get past that, most people don't necessarily know the history of all the 17 sports that Georgia Southern Athletics has. So throughout the next couple of weeks, couple of months, whatever it ends up being, we will go through the history of not only the 17 sports, but also Georgia Southern Athletics as a whole, and tell you the stories, the complete stories, of what each sport has gone through, where it has built from, where it has built to, and give you a little bit more of the history and the story of all 17 sports in the athletic department.
And then from a digital standpoint, with the ability to go with Facebook Live, we don't have any more coaches shows, but we can provide some unique content with some, maybe a little bit of behind the scenes, maybe a little bit of, hey, follow me around, maybe a little bit of some of the things that you wouldn't necessarily think to look at, we will provide some attention for.
And as always, if you have any suggestions of things that you want to see, things you want to hear about, things you want us to do, any pranks, any
Well, with challenges. With Jared Benko coming back, I think we could wage a prank war because I understand that he's quite the prankster.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this could be fun.
Yeah, we're talking National Lampoon's Faber College.
All right.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
I don't, but I've...
You've seen...
I've seen The Christmas. I know he lights his house up.
Oh, this is different. I'm talking about the...
All right, well, we'll have time to watch it.
With John Belushi. Have you not seen this?
I have no idea what you're talking about. We'll have time to watch it. Don't
Animal
worry.
House.
I know that one.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. I got you. Anyway. So continue to send us your suggestions of what you want to see throughout the next couple of weeks, the next couple of months, and we will oblige as many as humanly possible over the next little bit. But until next week, for the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.